Would you turn with me in your copy of the Scriptures to the first letter of John, chapter 2? We've come in our exposition of this book to verse 28. We'll give our attention to just this verse and verse 29 today. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Verse 28. Little children. Once again, John uses this beautiful identification for those of us who belong to God through Yeshua. We are family. John addresses him as family. And his heart is for these people who have believed and followed Yeshua. He has the wonderful heart of Yeshua has been put in his life. John, in his later years, would be known as the apostle of love. And his letters are soaked with that love. As he says, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. John is talking about the soon return of Yeshua. He refers to when he appears and at his coming. Two different words that describe the same event. There is a glorious hope that you and I share. Yeshua has come and given his life as a sacrifice, and Yeshua has promised to come again. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, after Yeshua's resurrection, he spent a period of 40 days teaching his disciples, continuing to teach what he had already started, speaking to them about the kingdom of God. And then there came that moment when he had concluded his teaching. He says in verse 7 of Acts chapter 1, Yeshua said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Yeshua, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven." The promise of Yeshua's return. It is a visible return. In our text in 1 John 2, when he appears, the word appearing means that he will come visibly. He will be manifest. We will see him as he is. He talked about this when he was still on the earth. In Matthew chapter 24, his disciples came to him and he asked him about what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age. And Yeshua went through an explanation of his return. Shaul wrote about his return and said in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 26, he says, "But now Messiah is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Messiah all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Messiah the first fruits, afterward those who are Messiahs at his coming." And Shaul is using the word that John uses, the second word, at his coming. And this is the word that indicates the coming, a presence, the presence of a person. This was the word that was used of a king coming to a place. He was coming personally, and he was coming in all of his splendor and of all of his glory. Saul would write about this in the letter to the Thessalonians. His two letters were written to correct wrong views about the return of Yeshua. Some had said that he'd already come, and they'd missed him. And Yeshua through Saul was correcting that, talking about the coming of our Lord in nearly every chapter in each of those two letters. The coming of the Lord Yeshua is a precious reality to you and I. It is a thing that gives us strength. Some people have said that we don't need to be thinking so much about last things. I've had many friends who I've discussed the matters of the return of Yeshua, and they have kind of shrugged it off, and often they don't like to read the book of Revelation or other things that talk about the future. But I find in Scripture that there are so many references to the return of Yeshua in His glory that this is something that is important to God. This is something that you and I need to be thinking about. One of the insights about this is contained in the Philippian letter that Saul wrote in Philippians chapter 3. Saul writes to this congregation, chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. He says, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Messiah, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things." So Saul is saying, these are people not to follow. This is a lifestyle not to embrace. Don't embrace this kind of lifestyle that is only set on earthly things. Don't embrace a lifestyle where you are an enemy of the cross of Messiah. Don't embrace a lifestyle where your appetites are what control you. And because of that, because your appetites are your God, you're headed in a destructive direction. Rather, as believers, as followers of Yeshua, what is to characterize us? The remembrance, the reality in verse 20, that our citizenship is in heaven. That you and I have died with Messiah. That we have been raised with Messiah. And now our life is hidden with Messiah in God, in the heavenly realms. Therefore, our citizenship is in heaven, and what are we doing right now? From which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Yeshua Mashiach, who will transform our lowly body, that it might be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. The older I get, the more glorious that promise is. In my heart, I'm 21. My body says it ain't so. And I'm sure you've experienced that. The hope is that one day the inside and the outside will match. The glory that I have felt, that you have experienced, that we have experienced in relationship with Yeshua, the reality of that relationship, that He has made us brand new, that one day will go to every fiber of our being. That we will be like Him. And therefore, while we are waiting for that to happen, Saul says that we are eagerly waiting for a Savior. Now, sometimes I've heard people talk about the second coming. The reality is, Scripture does not talk about the second coming. It talks about the second coming of Yeshua. We are not waiting for an event. We are waiting for a person. And if our minds eye is fixed on that person, it's going to affect our whole lifestyle. Saul knew that this kind of waiting impacts the way we live for the better, for good. And this is an eager waiting. This is not a casual kind of thing. This is something that we give careful attention to. Scholl would write about this in his letters to Timothy and Titus. In the second letter to Timothy, in chapter 4, he would describe this waiting, this looking that we are doing for the Yeshua's return again. And the term he will use is different. In 2 Timothy, second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, in verse 8, he says, as he's given, this is his last letter, he's writing to his dear son Timothy in the faith, giving him final instruction about how to walk with God, how to do the ministry that he's been called to, knowing that Saul will soon be gone. And he says in verse 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Another word, we are eagerly waiting for his appearing, but we are also loving his appearing. You and I are looking for the lover of our souls. We are watching for the one who has loved us best, the one who has known us the most deeply and thoroughly and has continued to love us the best. And we have come to love him. We long to see him, to see his face. And then in Titus, just the next book over, chapter 2, Scholl would write to Titus about this coming of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 11. He says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua Mashiach, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. The return of Yeshua is called our blessed hope. I love the word hope. In Scripture, hope does not mean what we often use that term as. We often say, I hope this happens. I hope for this. I really wish, we're saying equivalent, I really wish that would happen. But in Scripture, hope is a future certainty. Hope means something that is absolutely positively going to happen without question, and it's positive and it's good, and it brings great joy for us to think about it, to fix ourselves, our hearts, our minds upon it. The blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. A summary statement wraps it all up. It says, Hebrews 9, 28, so Messiah was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation. He came the first time. This was a great mystery. It was talked about side by side in the Tanakh. It was a great mystery that there was the suffering aspect of Messiah, but the glorious aspect of Messiah as well. And here we have it in this one verse. He offered himself for our sins. He bore the sin of many. And now we are eagerly waiting for him to appear the second time, not to deal with our sin, but to bring the fullness of our salvation, to transform our lowly bodies into that glorious body. I like the picture of Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, these two godly believers were waiting for the coming, the first coming of Messiah, and I think it gives us insight to how we wait. They were looking for Messiah. Luke chapter 2, Yeshua's parents brought him to the temple to dedicate him. And in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Ruach HaKodesh was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Ruach HaKodesh that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Yeshua, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Simeon was waiting to see the Messiah. The Spirit of God says you will see him before you die. And he was waiting and watching, and he was sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit, and the Spirit prompted him to go into the temple at this very moment. And the Spirit of God introduced him to the Son of God, and he was thrilled to his toes. From the top of his head to the tip of his toes, he was thrilled. He had been waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the consolation of Israel came. He was watching and he was waiting. And then there was this godly woman, Anna. Verse 36, now there was one Anna, a prophetess. I love her name. The daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Do you hear that? The glory of her name, Anna, means favor or grace. Phanuel means face of God, and Asher means happy. Can you put them all together? By the grace of God, Anna came at just the right time and saw the face of God. By the favor and grace of God, she saw the face of God, and it brought great happiness to her. She had been praying from the time that she became a widow. She had been praying and watching. This woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. That's what it means for us to wait. Do you see that? We're looking for a person. We're watching for what God says he will do. We're watching for God's intervention in human history, for the fullness of the kingdom of God to come, for the person of Yeshua, the Messiah. We are waiting for his appearing in glory and splendor. That is our blessed hope. And we wait with patience, but we wait with eagerness. We watch. How do we wait and watch like these two people that we read about? We also wait and watch just like Enoch. Do you remember that figure in the chapter 5 of Genesis? Enoch, it says, at the age of 65, began to walk with God. And it says that he walked with God for another 300 years. And then, as one young person described this story, they said that one day Enoch and God were walking together, and God said, well, Enoch, it's closer to my house than it is to yours. Why don't you just come on home with me? That, I think, is a picture of how we wait as well, that we walk in fellowship and intimate communion with God. As John would say back in his letter, chapter 2, verse 28, we abide in him. We dwell in him. We settle in him. We make our home in him. We walk with him day by day. God, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. That is how we wait. We wait by making God our dwelling place, so that it could be said of us that maybe Yeshua would come, or we would pass that veil and go into his presence. And it would take us a half an hour to realize that anything had changed, that we were so close to Yeshua, that the fellowship was so intimate. We wait by abiding in him, but we wait with anticipation, with eagerness, looking for him, for our blessed hope. And we wait knowing that he gives us confidence, so that when he appears, we can be bold, free of speech, look him in the face, and enjoy the fullness of his presence. And we can do that because of what Yeshua has done. Again, in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, describes it. It says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest, that is Yeshua, who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore," same word, "come boldly, confidently, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And then in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 19 and following, it says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness," same word, "confidence, to enter the holiest by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." You see, the way we can be confident, the way we can be free, the way we can be looking for Yeshua, the way we can be ready for his return is because of what Yeshua himself has accomplished for us. We can look him in the face because he has paid for every wrong thing we have ever done or ever would do. And there will be nothing between us and our Savior. That will be a glorious day, and that will put a spring in our step right now. That is how we wait for him. Little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we can watch, look, face him with confidence, because we are trusting in what he has done for us, not be ashamed before him at his coming. Thank God that one day soon, Yeshua will appear. And while we wait, we can wait with joy and anticipation and hope, knowing that the best is yet to be. Let's pray together. Father, give us a fresh revelation of yourself. Ignite our hearts once again with love for yourself. Oh, Father, if our love is diminished in any way, fan it into flames. Show us, Father, that Yeshua is the greatest person in all the universe. And to see him face to face will bring the greatest joy we have ever known. And Father, I pray that as we walk through this week, through these days to come, that this blessed hope will well up before us, that it will give us strength and courage and energy to face whatever comes in a day. And help us remember, Father, that as bad as things may get here, for us who believe, this is the baddest it'll ever get. And one day, what we see with you, seeing you face to face, experiencing you, will knock the socks off of us and will make whatever thing we've suffered through here seem as nothing. Oh, Lord, let it be so now, the reality of your presence. Let it be so now that we would be strengthened to go with joy into whatever you have for us. Meet us, Father, and draw us to yourself. And we pray, even so, Lord Yeshua, come quickly. In his name we pray. Amen.